and gentlemen, welcome into the B-Team Podcast. As always, they are live on the Jackrabbit Illustrated Facebook and Twitter. We are also live on the FCS Fans Nation YouTube for the fans, by the fans. Beyond that, you can catch the show, if you don't catch it live, anywhere you get your favorite podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and everywhere in between. As always, the B-Team is brought to you by our title sponsor, Kubota Dealers of South Dakota. If you need a tractor, utility vehicle, construction equipment, zero-turn motors, parts, service, and more, there's always a Kubota dealer near you with 8 locations across the great state of South Dakota. Stop in today and get yourself into some orange equipment. We would also like to take a moment to thank our segment sponsors, Culver's, Brookings and Watertown, Jackrabbit Central, and Cubby's Sports Bar and Grill. And now, B-Team Mafia, the time's arrived. Here's Ben, Chad, and Brendan.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are here for the final edition of the 2023 season B-Team show. B-Team Mafia, thank you for joining us. Per usual, we're late, and that'll happen. But, you know, what do you do? We had some technical issues, and, you know, it's hard to sort technical issues out when the guy shows up at the time we're supposed to start. There's just no time for it to work. So, and it's still working swell.
I'm just kidding. I fixed it.
Oh, you're such a dick. God, you're a dick.
Got us. You dick.
That was well done. Well executed. I'll give you that. That was well done. Yeah, one of us three came over for the tacos. That was great. You guys missed out.
I really wanted to, but you know, my crew that I rode down with wanted to get going. So yeah, it wasn't really on the table for me. I missed
that.
That
made sense. That made sense. But that. Man, he picked up a metric shitload of Torchy's tacos, and it was incredible. They were awesome. So
I could have helped put a dent in him. I heard there was a lot around.
Dude, he had like 60 of them, and they're not like little wimpy Taco John Taco Bell tacos. These are like real tacos with packed with stuff, and oh yeah, they were awesome.
I ain't even putting that comment up because you're making an assumption there that I'm not willing to go along with.
I told him I'd have tacos with him after the marker game already. So
I told him I'd have tacos with him after the marker game too, but I'm not going to concede a loss at this point. That's a little early in the game, brother.
We'll see what happens. So it is our final edition. Thank you so much to Kubota Dealers of South Dakota for being our title sponsor all year long. You guys are rock stars with 7 locations across this great state of South Dakota. There is an orange dealer near you. Get yourself some orange equipment. I know Matt was really impressed with how awesome his blue snow. Now that he finally got to use it in snow, I had been trying to tell him how cool, how awesome they are. I think you got to see it to believe it sometimes. That thing kicked ass. So that was awesome for him. They also have parts and service. So stop by the nearest Kubota dealer to you today. Get yourself into some orange equipment. Make this snow removal a lot easier on yourself. So instead of dreading it, you're looking forward to it because you get to play with a toy. So that's my theory on that situation there. Might be a little big for Ben's yard, but Chad and I could do with some orange in our yard.
I could 100% deal with one.
gotta stop building shops, and we got to get something to put in there.
All the trucks in there, bud. But it's a tight fit getting her in and out.
She's a squeeze. Oh, that'll happen. What do you do?
Yeah.
What do you do? So.
So other than tacos, yeah. How'd Frisco go for everybody?
Well, I was with you for most of it, but I will say this. The only thing I probably did different than everybody is I went to Snow's Barbecue here, mm-hmm. Not a paid sponsorship or anything.
You are
but
an insane person for doing that.
Oh dude, it was the experience, man. That was so fun. We showed up at 1:30 in the morning down in Lexington, Texas. And
how far did you drive to do that?
3 hours. We left at like 9:30, stopped and got pizza at Domino's on the way down. Then we got there at 1:30, and there were 6 people in front of us in line. They had gotten there at 10, 11, and midnight. And then we had some people show up after, and yeah, it was totally worth it. It was awesome. You're sitting there, in line at 1 a.m. You hear the cows in somebody's feedlot like a block away from the damn smokehouse. And yeah, it was awesome, man. It was cool. Got to have a picture with Tootsie and everything. And yeah, totally worth it. I did find it funny. People were reminding me, like Kyler and Frazee and those guys were reminding me more than I was reminding myself of how long I had been up for.
Yeah.
Because they'd be like, how are you still awake? I'm like, what do you mean? It's a new day. Like, yeah, you haven't slept yet. Wow. What do you do? Just kind of keep going through and pretend it didn't happen.
Yeah. And then once he got back from that, we did the live podcast where I donned the wiener costume, which was a blast.
Best punishment I think I could have physically thought of. There's not a better punishment that I could have come up with.
People did seem to enjoy that quite a bit. Go ahead, Chad.
I was just thinking that it felt like it was cooler than less embarrassing, maybe because it wasn't me, but like since it was such a cool outfit, like everybody just got used to it right away and it like was not a thing like for enjoyed, like 20 seconds.
Enjoyed you having to ask Coach Fred questions in a hot dog.
Yeah,
what can you read off the text that you got sent by your son? Because that was funny. I almost fell off the stage. So funny.
While he looks at that, let's just cut here to the to the view from the top.
Yeah, with sound. You know, we're good at sound.
McKinley,
I probably
my 11-year-old son sent a screenshot of the podcast, and he had in quotes, "The Glizzy guy's your dad," and then him replying, "No, I have no clue who that weirdo is." So yeah. I got plenty of pictures from that. It was fun. Do have to say sorry to everybody for the audio. It was not Thomas Dunn's fault. We had assumed that we would be able to hook into their system better, and they just didn't have the right stuff for us. So we will have we'll do it better next time. I guarantee you that.
Told us already for how that's going to work.
Yep. So apologize for that. But other than that, the local was fun. And then the pep rally was a blast. I think they said there was like over 4,000 people that went to that. That's pretty cool. That facility is top notch. It's really, really nice. Had one of the worst beers I've ever tasted there, though. It was a watermelon Kolsch, and it tasted like the worst part of a rotten watermelon, like the rotten rind of a watermelon. And we spent, I think they were like $11 or $12 a piece, and we threw them away because they were so bad.
Wow. Yeah, I've had a watermelon Kolsch before that was good, so
that one was not
pretty sad.
But yeah, beers were expensive there. And then let's see, then came the tailgate on Saturday morning. That was a blast. Thank you to everybody that showed up for that. I thought the pictures last year were insane, but I've seen some from this year that it's just, I wish I had a way to estimate how many people were there.
Right.
It's, what do you think?
I think at least eight people.
At least eight. Yeah.
Yeah. 8, at least 8 people
came or went through our tailgate area, I think. Including JFPA, right? Like,
yeah, that's possible. We had good food. We had a lot of beer. I didn't, for as much beer as we were piling on, I didn't know if we'd get through it, but we did. It was about the right amount. We ran out like right at noon, right as everybody had to head into the stadium. So that turned out good. Apparently the food was good. I didn't have any of it, which was a huge mistake.
Especially if you're spending quality time in the RV with Thumper and Kevin.
Yeah.
Was that before the interview or after?
I think that Kevin was
wasn't there till Kevin wasn't there till after, but Ben and I had taken a couple passes through the RV.
Yeah. And the RV had some harder alcohol in it.
We were not shy about taking.
No. So, but no, great time. Thanks to Zach again from Tailgater Incorporated. He helped out tremendously and made it a great success. And then we had the game.
And especially thank you to all our sponsors for it.
Yes.
As without you guys, and of course, you people who showed up and everyone who donated, it would have been us four guys out there probably with our regular tailgating tent. And that wouldn't be nearly as cool. So thank you so much to everybody who's done that.
Yeah. Hopefully everybody liked the video board this year and the highlights playing and the sponsor showing on that. That was cool. Jim mentioned the charging for parking, which was some bull, but they upped the price from 20 to 30. It looked like the day of the game. They had like a paper slapped on the top that said $30, but whatever. Toyota Stadium.
I mean, I think everybody should just go, you know, if you, because they did cashless. If you did it with a credit card, I'd just refute those charges, because you can go on their website right now and show where it's $20.
They got a captive market. They can charge.
Yeah, well, they can't just change the price like that on you.
Yeah.
If everybody did that to refute their charges, they'd be up crick without a paddle real quick.
Anyway, once we got into the game, it was awesome. The flyover was amazing, as the guys that were on our podcast told you it was going to be. And the atmosphere was great. It was buzzing. There were so many Jackrabbit fans there. We're thinking official count 60-40, probably. Blue to maroon.
Yeah, that was a pretty consensus pick, even by the Montana reporters.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And, you know, the first quarter and half even, it went about as well as Montana could have asked. You know, when we were talking about the game coming up to it, you know, some weird things were going to have to happen. And they did. You know, the only thing that went wrong for them was Adam Bach is a man-child and just made an amazing play on that fourth and goal from the one. Outside of that, you know, everything went about as well as it could have for Montana.
Yeah, I can't disagree there. I mean, that punt was weird. That hit us in the back, hit Durant in the back, I think it was. You know, the interception was just super out of character for Mark. It was just kind of they got all sorts of breaks, but that the Jacks defense was just too good. There's one thing that all season the offense was phenomenal, but there were always a couple breaks in there, just like any offense. No offense clicks every play, every down, every drive. But you always had the defense to lean back on that just wasn't going to let anything get out of hand, have anything happen. And I think that was the big reason every game that I watched this year, I never got too riled up or worried. It's like, yeah, offense will figure it out. And this defense just is not going to give up more than two touchdowns any game. And it's the way it played out.
Right. I mean, they were stellar. And I think we have to credit Montana's defense too. I mean, they were good. They disrupted our running offense in the first half for sure. And they got us off the field. They made some stops on third downs that they needed to. And, you know, leading up to the game, we talked about how, you know, potentially Montana would be able to keep it close early, and then we would make the adjustments going into the second half. And I feel like we did that. I think that Lujan called a good game. Gronowski had a better second half. And, you know, we started to get some big chunk plays that really kind of took over the game. I'm trying to remember when the pass to Hines was.
Was in the third quarter.
That was the third quarter. That was huge. Yeah. It was, I think it was a third and long that they converted, and then it set up the touchdown, I believe.
That was right after the Yankee non-catch, if I remember right.
Which he caught it, slid on his back, and it wasn't until he was on his head upside down.
I can see what got the official. When you watch the replay, that maroon glove, the Montana players wear, looked like the ball. If you saw it in real time, it looked like that was the ball getting jiggled around. I was surprised that didn't get overturned, but whatever. Ball don't lie. That's the way that goes. I mean,
and that I think prompted the little.
I think later in,
it made more sense when I went back and did the rewatch. I'm like, oh, now I know why he did the good little boy, or whatever you want to call that.
Too small.
Pretty much. Okay, yeah. Pretty much. That was something. I was like, oh, I can't believe we didn't get called for that one.
The ref was looking right at him. I feel like he didn't realize what he did.
No, because that's one of the most disrespectful things I've ever seen on a football flag.
It was right on top of his helmet, too.
Yeah. That was that. I mean, talk about, but I mean, those guys never changed who they were. And I don't mean this like in a bad way. The Yankee boys were always themselves. We've been begging since they started playing. Please stop doing the arrow. Please stop.
Yeah.
They're like, no, we are. We're this good. They're that good partially because of that attitude. So, you know what? What a way to end your career, pulling that. And it was awesome. Yeah.
That was a microcosm of their career, was that touchdown catch and that celebration. I remember back in the day when they were young, this was when Stig was actually trying to have a handle on it. he's like, oh, these guys got to stop doing these celebrations. And then at some point he must have given up, or somebody's like, hey, just let him do it. Because then you didn't hear much about it after that. But what can you say about Jaden and Jackson Yankee? They'll go down as two of the top, I don't know, five for sure, wide receivers in Jackrabbit history, from a record standpoint. Obviously, I think they're like 3 and 4 in touchdowns, probably up there in reception yards. I'm not sure. But then just from an impact to the program standpoint of, number one, bringing the first championship, and then deciding to stay when they could have tested the waters in the draft, and coming back to get another championship for SDSU, and then add on the fact that they're from Madison, South Dakota. Right. You add all that together, and those guys are just SDSU legends at this point.
I mean, they for sure go down as the most, the deadliest duo of receiving threats that we've ever had on the outside, on the perimeter. I think that's no doubt. We've never had a pair of receivers like that before.
Right.
On the game a little bit, I guess at halftime, you were talking about how everything that needed to happen for Montana did. But it did happen, and you still go into halftime with a lead. And like Brian said, you know, he knew it was good when I looked at him at half and I said, your bet's fine. And I did, because if all those things go your way and you're still losing, you're just not going to win that game. You know, going into that game, I think as a Jacks fan, and this is going to sound arrogant probably and whatever, but you knew that SDSU was the far better team just overall. I mean, that was just the way it was. Not saying that Montana's a bad team at all. Like we said, their defense was great. But you felt like the only way the Jacks don't win is if they come out and don't play well, or even some form well, that not even great, but below well. And they really didn't play even well the first half, and you're still up 7-3. It's like, well, I feel pretty good about this. We've seen this show before, you know. I don't feel bad for him, but it was quite the role reversal sitting next to Frazee and Brian and those guys who are sitting there going, yeah, I've seen this show. I've seen this movie before. It's like, yeah, we used to say that shit all the time about your games. Mm-hmm. So, now you know.
Yeah, it was weird. You know, the score was 7-3, but man, it felt there was no doubt still. Like, we would have had to have, I mean, like we said, a lot of things went wrong in the first half and we're still up. There would have had to been even more things go wrong in the second half. And I think we just knew that with this team, how good it is and how senior led it was and the coaching staff, that just wasn't going to happen. And it did. and it's been talked about a bit, but I think it was tough for Montana to come out in the second half and really think they're going to win that game, especially after, I think, of Brian Williams. It was early in the second half. He had that come from behind play, hustle play, where he knocked the ball out. It was an awesome play, and that kind of looked to take their will out a little bit. But especially late in the game, it was interesting to see just how defeated they were when at times they were only down by two scores. Late in the game, it was three. And it looked like they knew that even if they were up for it, that it just wasn't going to happen. And I think that's a testament to how good the defense was, how dominant they were, and how they would just take your will away. You could see it in Montana's eyes. They're like, well, there's just no way we're winning this game.
Yeah, I agree. I think they defeated their will, especially, partway through the third quarter. The offensive unit for Montana, just they weren't having it. They're just like, get us back off the field. And their defense was good. I mean, they kept trying. Their defense didn't give up. So their defense deserves a fair amount of credit, but their offense, second half, not great, Bob.
For sure. And I can't get too far without mentioning Hunter Dustman. His punting game was unreal. The two that he dropped, I think right on the 5-yard line, and they landed like out of bounds, and kicking away from Junior Bergen for most of the game. They go unnoticed. We noticed them, and we recognize how good he is. Excited to have him back again next year. And his kick, the field goal he had, was unreal. To have him double clutch and still the leg power to like stop his leg and then still, I don't know how he did that. I didn't know that is even possible to do.
That is a worst case scenario for a kicker, to have to start. To stop and start again mid kick, and to pull that off was holy hell. That was dude. He's a stud. Man, he's a stud. We're lucky to have him.
Like Kevin Marshall says here, Hunter got their MOP votes, not just because he was a punter either. Which I hate the MOP, just call it MVP.
I do too. 100%.
And you know what? I like it. I think we should embrace the hell out of it and call it the MOP, not even the MOP. Say he was the MOP, embrace it, make it a thing. That's such a college football thing. He was the MOP, it's man. I'm all about it. I mean, we get past the weirdness of it.
It's such a new, everybody gets a trophy thing. I'm not on board with it.
Well, to be honest, I think it's a more accurate description.
It probably is.
You're not wrong.
Let's be honest. Which MVP award actually goes to the MVP? Like maybe 50% of the time. So call it most outstanding player. I like that. I like it.
Yeah. Paul Seiler says he wasn't kicking away from Bergen. He was kicking to a spot. That's true.
That Bergen wasn't at. That's just coincidental. But
right.
Well, when he was punting it out of bounds strategically. I see we also got a new Iowa punting commit just the other day, yesterday. Hmm. It's kind of cool. You guys go out on Twitter and check that out. I think I retweeted that.
Did not know that.
I probably knew that if I could read.
Besides that, Zay was good again. He had a quiet but really good game. I mean, he obviously had the touchdown run, but then he just kind of grounded out. And it was interesting. We were rewatching, and I commented, I was like, Zay didn't even get close to 100 yards, I don't think. And it turns out he almost did. Like he racked up yards when you didn't really realize it. Because he kind of got 15 and 20 at a time. He got stuff sometimes too. But just, a very workmanlike game from Zay. And it just, the the video that I think it was it Tanner posted of him at the end of the game. It's just love that guy. I love that player so much that he just, you can tell he just has a huge heart and he loves SDSU football so much. And we're going to miss Isaiah Davis for sure. I mean, we're going to miss a lot of these guys, but he made a huge impact on this program. And yeah, it was, I don't know, good to see him go out on top again.
Yeah, I think we're going to miss the hell out of this whole class here. Mm-hmm. You always miss the seniors. And before people get all angsty about it, we're not saying that we're not talking about next year or not being as good or whatever and all that stuff. But just going to miss them as people on top 100%. Of the players, you know. Just some incredible dudes on there. If you didn't catch A-Team last night with Mason, check it out. He was awesome on there. If you haven't checked it out yet, absolutely go listen. He was phenomenal with Chad and the Podfather. So check them out for sure. And Dallas. Yep. Yeah. Dallas was on there. Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir. So, yeah, check those guys out. Phenomenal episode with him. Really cool. He gives some good insight into the guys that he was practicing against that he knows real well. So, check those guys out. But yeah, just going to miss these guys
for
the whole
sure.
group. So,
and it, I think it, and it's not about Jack Rabbit Illustrated at all, but it's just, you know, if you think back to when we kind of got this podcast up and going, it was when these guys were coming in. Right. And so we, you know, we've kind of, the podcast has kind of grown as this class has matured and got to where they are now. And so they've been a big part of our, of what we do. And so it's been great to see them grow, and we're definitely going to miss them. You know, definitely go check out Mason last night. But one thing that hit with me that Dallas commented on is just how much of an impact that Mason McCormick made on this program to be as like recognizable as he is. Mm-hmm. You know, like O-line, you just usually, you know, it's just a name. You know, there's maybe a face, but there's no personality behind it. And he just is such a big personality, and it was a big part of the program. And he's just such a cool dude, and wish him nothing but the best.
Well, it's a credit to him, the rest of the guys on the O-line. Honestly, some of it goes to Coach Eck with the 605 Hogs thing. Mm-hmm. I think that's made it, which I think is an awesome thing for the program, that the fan base has embraced it and all that stuff. I mean, let's be honest, if the fan base loves your own line, that's got to be a selling point in recruiting. Like, hey, we don't just talk about how much we love O-linemen or how important O-linemen are. Like, the fan base has a whole mantra about it that they took from us and all that. I mean, that can't hurt. But yeah, you're right. I mean, it's gonna be it's wild to have some of your most recognizable players on the team be the offensive linemen, and not just from their jersey number or where they line up, but you can, I mean, if you walk by those guys, besides the size, you would recognize who Mason is and all those guys. So,
for sure.
No, I think phenomenal that the impact those guys have made is going to be felt for years and years.
Definitely. And then, you know, you look at the defensive line side of things. I think there are five that are leaving from that side between. I think Trevier, Williams, Hicks, Van Merrill, and one other one. But just, I mean, Quentin Hicks, I think, stands out to me in terms of just being you always got to have a defensive lineman and usually defensive end that can kind of get the crowd going with a sack and a celebration. And he was always that guy. And it was so cool to see him have the year that he did. Just because I think that you saw the potential when he was really young, you saw the potential what he could do. But I think maybe the consistency wasn't there. And there were guys ahead of him that, you know, he just couldn't get some playing time. And this year it all came together and he had an amazing year. And we'll definitely miss him too. And obviously Trevier as well, you know, the player that he turned into. And, you know, with Sanders and Winkleman going on, those guys really stepped in and filled the void better than we could have asked.
Yeah, and it really sets the standard for the next group of guys coming in. You know, I mean, I fully believe when Jimmy said the statement's a standard, that that's not going away going into next year. And it's crazy that it almost makes it you more excited for next year to see what the next guys are going to do. The guys who learned under all these cats. But, you know, it us being like, yeah, I think five guys are leaving from the defensive line is such a testament to what the no-name defense thing that we've talked about and talked about ad nauseum, that probably people are non-SDSU fans are probably sick of us talking about. But, I mean, God, there's so many guys that, that you're going to miss off of there, that, but you got to think a little bit because they weren't the guys on the poster, so to speak, you know, that are going to, that had a huge, huge impact from the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah. Well, I think it's, you know, it's, we had an all-star studded offense, and so that got a ton of attention. And then the defense, you know, part of the no-name thing is that all the stats were so spread out because we had so many good guys on the defense. A few more names that we need to mention are Jason Freeman, a guy that came in and made an unthinkable impact on the program coming from where he did. And then is Isaiah Stalbert, a guy coming in from Nebraska that, you know, he just the player that he turned out to be was amazing, and that he's the type of guy that will definitely have a chance at the next level. And then Deshaun Gales, he's just been just a model of consistency. You knew what you were getting from him, and he showed up and he did it every single game. I don't know. Did he ever miss a game? I don't ever remember him not being on the field in the last like 3 or 4 years, because he's just he was always out there making plays, and we'll miss those guys for sure.
The other thing Daishon did consistently was get better. That guy got better year on year out, year after year after year, to the point where he's basically an FCS shutdown guy. I mean, this year he was. I mean, I don't know how that translates going forward, but in our level, look at his stats. They're unreal. Teams didn't throw his way.
100%.
Well, I think Daishon, if he tests well, I mean, you see shutdown guys from the FCS level in the defensive backfield go on to the next level regularly. It happens all the time. Southern Illinois does it all the time. You and I had a couple of cats that did that. So, I mean, that is a thing. If he tests well, he'll do all right. But Ben, you were going to.
I was going to say there was one play in the championship where he came up and made a really nice one-on-one tackle. And that was just one awesome thing about Gales, is that he was just such a sure tackler, which you don't always see at the cornerback level. But he was very, very good at that, at kind of addressing the play and figuring out, you know, where it was going and going up and making the tackle and stopping him before it gets going. And so, yeah, that's he was just such a fun player to watch.
That's a good point. Not only was he great against the pass, he was great at recognizing and you know, affecting the run plays as well. So
For sure. I think Freeman. That's the one I was thinking of, it's good.
Yes.
When he threw down Gilman, that's the one I was thinking of. Yep.
Yep. 100%. Back on Freeman, the incredible luxury to have someone of his caliber step in when a guy like Adam Bach goes down to the point where you almost don't notice. I mean, what a stud. Absolutely unreal. And that dude needs probably more flowers than he ever got. So.
Yeah. And he always did it just with a smile on his face, man. He was just a professional about it, and from where he came from to what he did on the Jacks program, it just is amazing that he was able to come in and do that and be, you know, one of the top linebackers in the FCS.
And he played at least the back half of this year hurt. He had a biceps injury, I think, and then he hurt his hand too, because he was playing with a cast on that semifinal game. So, dude was awesome. And nothing like relentless effort to beat you know, physical characteristics, because he's kind of undersized for his position, but hit like a Mack truck, was all over the field. I don't know a guy that tackles better than Jason Freeman. Nobody got by that guy. Rarely.
Agreed. I was dumbfounded by this Jason Kelce comment. I'm not sure where it even came from.
No, I did hear that Jason Kelce might be retiring after this year. I don't know any more than that. I mean, start following the NFL closely until right about now. The Funk So brother. I feel like
if you get to chase around her, maybe you just go to her concerts every night. And
that's the wrong
Jason
one.
Is not Travis. Wrong Kelce.
Oh, yeah, the wrong one. Sorry.
Yeah, Travis is the one with the Swift.
Yeah, well, Jason. Yeah, Jason's probably about that time.
So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, will the Wiener costume be donated to the scholarship auction? I don't know. It made it back. I did not expect to bring it back. It made it back. We had some weight issues with one of our bags on the way down, so we ended up just picking up a second one on the way up because we got free bags because Ariel's military and stuff. So. Nice. We picked up a third bag and managed to squeeze it in there. So
I know
the wiener will rise again.
I don't know that it needs to, but maybe it'll be a traveling trophy.
Maybe you're going to have to wear the wiener plus cat ears, you know,
wiener ears. Yes. I told Ariel, I've got to be careful if I beat you. Next year, because I can't up it. I might have to down.
You're going to have
the
to.
Level of it, because if I do the same or more, I will lose eventually.
Exactly.
I might just quit the podcast that year if I win like 4 years in a row. I just might be look at the time, boys. I guess it's time to hit the old dusty trail.
Yeah,
I mean we're getting requests for your appearance here, Ben. So
yeah.
Maybe you'd get a free ticket if you show up wearing the wiener costume.
We're going to have to go down to Smithfields and see if we can get a wiener sponsorship. And then
then I would wear it.
That would be so goddamn funny. I want you to wear it to a game. Get a tour of the president's box in it. So funny. Geez. And walk in like nothing's wrong. What's up, guys? Speaking of somewhere that does not sell hot dogs, but does sell tasty, delicious burgers and custard, Culver's of Brookings of Watertown. Thank you for sponsoring us all year and our tomfoolery. I'm just throwing this in the middle here because we're probably not going to have our normal segments we do at this point. But go to Culver's. They're the best. If anybody didn't know, you can actually get little pints of their custard pre-mixed with the toppings and everything. They've got like blackberry crumble and all this other crazy stuff. And they're freaking awesome. You get four of them for like $12. So not a terrible deal. And I picked up four of them and I have been gaining weight. So that's not a coincidence.
Did you not know that until recently?
I didn't. I did not.
You're too thin to not know that. That explains why. Like, if you were my size, you'd already know that.
I think I'm gonna shit on a company here. It's a Dairy Queen effect, where their mediocre ice cream is not worth paying attention to. That's in a freezer. So every time I see a freezer off to the side of the counter space, I just didn't pay any attention to it. And I was in Culver's the other day, and I was like, "Oh shit." They got ice cream in there. Well, what is it? Oh, they got flavors. Hell yeah. But then,
well, to be clear, there's this custard, and Dairy Queen doesn't even meet the mark for ice cream. It's ice milk. So,
Right. Well, and you know what? Here's something I would like to point out. The punishment will be worse next year if I win, unless I get my goddamn Scoopy tokens. I am owed.
He is owed true. Scoopy tokens.
Butterburger and three Scoopy tokens.
I'll make that happen.
Can you buy Scoopy tokens, or is Ben gonna have to steal them from his kid?
He's probably gonna have to steal them from a child, preferably not even his own, because that would be funnier. He just runs by. Have you ever seen those videos where somebody's reaching out to grab their drive-thru and some dude just sprints between the car and snags it out the window as they're trying to hand it off and takes off.
Yeah. That would be good.
That's how I want my Scoopy tokens collected now.
Speaking of the entrance, Jim Poppin posted the link to my entrance.
Oh yeah, I'm working on it.
I knew you were going to introduce me. I couldn't hear a thing back there.
I was shouting as loud as I could.
Yeah, I had no idea until people started chanting. I was like, well, I guess that's my cue. Yes. I was trying to listen to it on my phone on the broadcast, but it was delayed, and so I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, that delay was kind of tough to deal with. I felt so bad when, like, Kevin
and my gosh.
Those guys. Speaking of the fun thing on top of that, Alex's lemonade stand. Aiden Bauman came back and stole it from us. Next year we will be smarter about this. But round of applause to everybody who donated. Combined with everybody else in the FCS, we raised $45,000 for to fight childhood cancer, not for childhood cancer, because that'd be shitty. $45,000. That is awesome. I'm fairly certain between our guys, Mark, Brian, and Quentin, we probably raised probably almost $15,000. So close. Huge shout out to all of you on BT Mafia who jumped in and helped support that. Cubbies for helping with the Italian nachos. That was really awesome. I mean, really unbelievable, actually, that ended up happening at all. Get out of
and
it. But
you can still get them until the end of the month.
Yes.
Oh, is it the end of January? Oh, boy.
Yeah, and I will be going up there and getting some. Yeah, that's in the works. I'm probably going to take the audio equipment from Ben and run it up to Thomas up there, and we're going to go get some J.I. Italian nachos.
There you go.
So there he is. Oh, look at him. You know, the costume was too nice. It really was.
I thought it was going to be something ridiculous, like a big inflatable thing. It was a nice costume.
It was very high quality. I told Dallas, I was like, I didn't expect it to be this nice. I was hoping for something crummy, but all right, that worked. I was hoping it was going to be just like felt like fabric that would tear and break easily, but no, it's really nice. So that was a shame. But
is this true?
The Minnesota Vikings did donate to Alex's lemonade stand, but according to Chris Schenkel, who was there wearing an SDSU hoodie and by all accounts is an SDSU fan and ran it for Northwestern Mutual, he said that the Vikings only donated $500 and they donated it just because they couldn't just pick a player. They just donated to Alex's lemonade stand.
That's
cool. So,
Pretty stand up dude though. Like,
yeah, he was a good cat. He took it well. It was fun. Got to talk with him a little bit when we did the face-off challenge. That was a lot of fun. We got second. We lost to those bums from – Ben wasn't there. Ben, you missed out. It was a lot of fun.
How did we let Helton and the skinny kid beat us?
Yeah, Helton and that bum Kyler Neal, they beat us, which was just really an affront to humanity.
What did they beat?
They beat anybody. So – we had all sorts of contests. They had a cup stacking contest, and then they had a flip cup contest. That's what doomed us. The Podfather. Yeah. If anybody really wants to get the Podfather red in the face, you just have him try to flip a cup once. That is not his. I
can't believe he was in a fraternity not being able to play flip right. cup. I mean, I was bad. All right. I didn't drink till basically I was out of school. But
for anyone who hasn't seen it, you've all seen this type of guy or girl at the flip cup table in college where the game ends before they get the cup flipped. Yep. And it's not like a fast game, like a bunch of people who were good. Like it's a long game, but they're still flipping their one cup and everybody else on their team's not even mad. They're just like,
That was the Podfather.
That was the Podfather. He was the captain of the SS Struggles on that one, and drove that right into an iceberg. That was tough.
That's great.
Probably what killed us there, because that was timed, so we had to finish.
Jesse has a question.
I don't know who won the bag tournament. I can't remember. The last I heard,
it was some kids, wasn't it?
There's some controversy there. From what I've been told by sources, is that the winning team offered to give their winnings to the second place team so that they could have the clout and come on a podcast and talk shit about winning a bag tournament. So those final results are under review currently. They're getting sent to the Olympic Committee, and then they're going to drug test everybody.
Because the Olympic Committee is someone that you can trust.
those college boys gave us a run for their money, but
pretty good.
They couldn't take us down.
Did you offer them a rematch at tailgating next year?
For those that don't know, my cousin Jesse and I won the bags tournament with a dominant run.
Humble brag.
We did play against Chase Van Tol's parents, and his dad is a hell of a beanbag player. They almost beat us round one, and it was on his shoulders. And his wife's pretty good too, but that was tough.
Aaron and I got to play the guys that played you in the championship round, and.
Mm.
Yeah, they beat good. Us like we owed them money.
Yeah, they're good. I couldn't believe we beat them.
That was something. I was really on their team. Pretty heavy for them to win there, but what do you do?
All right. Anything else, Frisco, we need to talk about?
I don't think so. Hope everybody made it back safe. I think I said that on the show of Borg, but hopefully everybody made it back without incident. And
the jet back's a little sketchy. Just to apologize to anybody that I saw after halftime through the tailgate lot after. Hopefully I didn't have any bad experience with anybody.
You were happy drunk really well.
Your
bud.
Dad,
I think you're all right. You're all right.
Your dad let us in front of you because Ariel was pregnant when we were driving, and that was pretty great. That was pretty stand-up move by him. You weren't as impressed, but I thought it was fantastic.
What did I do?
Nothing. You just yelled something. Don't let him in front. Don't let him in front. She's pregnant. You're not going to let the pregnant lady. This is a conversation between cars, by the way, not walking. It was pretty great. I see you kept drinking throughout the game. I stopped about end of the first quarter.
Did you?
Maybe halftime. I don't know. Okay. I stopped. I know I stopped well before the end of the game.
It was somewhere near halftime, but yes. Yeah. It's a good thing you did, I think.
It was for the best. Yeah.
It was just funny because I knew that I had to get your chairs and audio equipment. And so I woke up and I was like, oh God, we still got to get that. And they're like, no, it's in your truck, dummy. And then I even called Zach. I was like, "Hey, I need to get those coolers." And he goes, "No, they're in your truck."
You called me while we were taking off. We were literally taxiing down the runway to take off. I'm like, "I can't. I don't know what he wants, but I can't take this call."
Thank you, Ariel. I agree.
Yeah. I was way off.
I turned around and looked at you because I think Thomas brought you a Crown and Coke and you were drinking a beer. And I turned around and looked at you hey, man, are you okay? And you're like, I'm okay. And I'm like, are you? That's the kind of okay. He's like, I'll be fine. I'm like, okay, well, if you want me to hold that Crown and Coke for you, no, I got it.
Well, if anybody sees me during a tailgate next year, just hand me a cheeseburger or something because I did not eat and I should have.
You look like you're watching Cops.
Jim commented this before too. He said he did the best run Burgundy. What's that about?
When you're on the mid-coast.
No, he's talking about Ricky Bobby. He's talking about
Ricky Bobby. Is that what he's talking about? My hands.
Yeah. I don't know. You had a beer in your hand. I don't feel like it was quite that awkward, but
it wasn't great though. it wasn't the best showing, but it was like 4 hours into drinking with no food. So that will happen.
Thomas absolutely was a stud at the local. Him and Chad put a ton of work into working on that stuff. And yeah, so you guys are both rock stars fighting with that. I know that from what I'm told, the audio was very good and the stream was very good. So I haven't brought myself to watch that yet, but maybe someday.
Not a clip.
Not the whole really
good on the stream, but
the whole thing. There were some rough spots, but overall it was pretty good.
We gotta find the gal. Find the gal that cursed you out for cursing.
Brendan.
They're awesome. They're the best. I've run into them 3-4 times. They got us with the shot ski.
They brought a shot ski, and
I'm awful for breakfast. Person. I know they're listening right now. You're listening right now, and I'm the worst person on the planet, and I'm completely blanked on names because I'm just a shitty person.
I know better because I know them, and I just can't come up with it. I've been trying to.
It was fun doing the shot ski, but the for breakfast was probably not a good idea.
It was like it might have been a bit much. I think those were what started the avalanche.
Yeah.
After that, I was like, how many beers can Brendan drink at tailgating? I don't know.
Jesse here says the picture of us taking the shots with Borg is great.
supposed to bring that up. It's supposed to be a secret. We don't want the man fired. He was working.
Well, yeah, he was just...
It was after the game, man.
He was there.
Right. I was on the way to his run to their vehicle.
Yeah.
He couldn't have done a shot because it wouldn't have got to his mouth, you know, height-wise.
Dumped on his head.
Anyway, some of the other comments have been about the Oklahoma State game. We're not ready to talk about that yet. We'll have enough podcasts in the offseason to talk about that. I will say make plans to go because I would recommend going. I'll be there. It's going to be awesome. But that's all to say about that for now.
Yeah.
that comment.
The second part. It was the second part.
We should have been on the second part, but anyway, the other thing we should actually, that was one thing I was going to address is the new that Ryan Olsen got named as offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. And then the coach that came over from UND, their offensive coordinator came to SDSU to, we're not sure, maybe be quarterbacks coach or something along those lines. I don't think his official title has been announced yet, but pretty impressive that we can pull Missouri Valley offensive coordinator onto our team. And from all accounts, it sounds like he's a great hire. So we're excited to have him on board too.
Could you imagine telling us, say like 2012, that we were going to have the clout and the program to do something like that off of the back of back-to-back natties, like 2012 or 2009? You'd been like, no, that's wild. Like, it's crazy where this program has grown to. And it feels like a long time because it was chasing NDSU for so long. Freund. I'm going to get that down, coach. Mm-hmm. I promise. If you are listening, I apologize. I genuinely looked for a pronunciation guide on the UND website. And they didn't have one. And they're like, oh, here's a YouTube video with him. Yeah, it's all him answering questions. It's not anybody talking to him. So I couldn't figure that out either. But he is not our new offensive coordinator. That's Coach Olsen, which I think as an SDSU fan and the O-line coach. And that should take you from unsure to really excited. Bringing in a phenomenal coach, phenomenal recruiter from UND. And I understand the hesitation. I had the same similar hesitation because you've seen the offense that UND's run and it just doesn't scream SDSU. We're getting Coach Olsen as the guy calling plays. He's going to be offensive coordinator and then get the input of someone who was as creative as Coach Freund. Really, really awesome. Awesome asset to have. Phenomenal recruiter by all accounts. This is a huge win if you're going to lose someone like Coach Lujan. And I think we'd be remiss if we didn't say thank you to Coach Lujan.
For sure.
That man's been a jackrabbit through and through ever since he got down here. I mean, just the model of a Coach Stig guy. And a great teammate, being a backup, to being a starter, to being a backup, never hanging his head, never being a jerk, never throwing a fit, working his way up the coaching ranks, ending up being the OC, been phenomenal the whole way. Just tip of the cap to you, Coach Lujan. Hopefully you are wildly, wildly successful at Northwestern until we play you guys. And then for that one game, you have a bad game, and then you go out and upset Ohio State and Michigan a whole bunch.
What year is that?
Because when
they open their new stadium,
is it 25-26 year? Yeah, I think so.
That's kind of cool though. Like we're gonna end up matching up with them.
Yeah, I mean, it'll add some 2026 scheduled for September 12th, 2026.
Oh, okay,
nice.
26-27.
Oh.
Yeah, no, he
be the opening game for their new stadium.
So that's pretty cool. Yeah, best of luck to Lujan. He was a great coach while he was here. Like you said, great influence on the program. And he'll be a head coach of a Big Ten team in no time. I just know it. The guy is destined for greatness. And yeah.
Hopefully he's so good that he won't be the coach there by the time we play them.
There you go.
That'll work out.
That would
there you go.
Set my heart at ease. That's
for sure. Non-SDSU related. How cool is it that Kalen DeBoer got hired as Alabama coach, though?
That's wild, dude.
Insane.
That's wild.
Yeah.
You put in the time, obviously. And
then now Grubb is the OC there, too.
Yeah.
So pretty cool for South Dakota. And they're Stig related too. So anyway, Jason Hepler says, what are your guys' thoughts on a three-peat? You know, there's so
many favor of it.
I'm for it.
I'm for it.
Next pro. Question. Pro. Very pro. We're a very pro three-peat podcast here. If anybody was curious, we're very pro three-peat. I would be very excited to be in Frisco.
Okay. I think we got the guys to do it.
Yeah, I mean, there's just so many unknowns. It's going to be hard to know until we see them get on the field and become major contributors. But it's super exciting. You know, we talked about how this season just felt like a victory lap because we knew how good they were, and at times it felt almost boring to talk about them because they were so good. And, you know, they just wouldn't make many mistakes and they would dominate the game, and you knew they were going to dominate the next game coming up. Next year is a lot of unknowns and it's exciting, and we're excited to get there. But in the meantime, like Jim says, we got a Summit League tournament coming up. That'll be a lot of fun. Yep. Always a good time there. Chad's got the wrestling podcast going, the Takedown.
Yeah, Wednesday we come on. So
I do have something rather important.
Okay.
I want to say thank you to my wife for putting up with me doing this all season and doing two extra podcasts on top of the one we normally did.
And the one's long.
The long late night one with Borg. Super appreciative of that. She's been a rock star letting me do all this and
all while being
following along and all while being pregnant. And
There's gonna be a baby Brendan next year. That'll be fun.
Gonna be another little me running around, which I don't know if that's better for the world, but we'll figure that out when we get there.
Maybe
we'll have a little one running around. Lord willing, you know, Lord willing, it'll take after mom and be as understanding as my wife is. So Thank you from the bottom of my heart for letting me do this with the guys, because we love doing it, and I couldn't do that without her being for it, or at least not nearly to this level. So thank you, Ariel, for letting me do this.
Chad, your turn.
Yeah, I mean, Sam doesn't watch these at all, and I tell her thanks every week when I do 2 and 3 podcasts. So, yeah, my wife's awesome. If you met her at tailgating, she puts up with me, which means she puts up with a lot of shit, and she continues to hang around me, and she's awesome. So,
and I'd like to thank absolutely nobody. No, I'm just kidding.
And I thank no one.
You could thank the group text for putting up with you.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's true. Thank you for that. I want to thank all the JI listeners. We appreciate you guys' support. We wouldn't do this without you guys. If we showed up every week and there were zero people here, we wouldn't do it. So we appreciate you guys' support and all the sponsors. Thank you. Again, it makes everything so much easier, and it makes our contribution to the program much bigger. So thank you guys.
Yep. All the likes, the shares, the comments, everything. Not why we do it, but it makes it easier to do it.
For sure.
You know, somebody gives a rip. We sure appreciate the hell out of you guys. Appreciate all the sponsors. Everybody who's hung in with us, all you degenerates who are watching now or are degenerates enough to watch me watch that late show. Ran into a guy at I shouldn't tell this story, but I will. I went to the bathroom at the coffee cup at the Vermilion exit and committed a war crime on the bathroom. I walked out and this guy, he listens. I'm sure he's listening now. And I never got his name because this is it. And he walks out and he looks at me and, you know, that's the last thing you want to see.
Did he look you square in the eyes after
he
that?
Looks me, and then he looks away and he looks back at me. And I'm like, oh shit. And he's like, you one of the JI guys? I'm like, this is how I wanted this to start. Yeah, I'm one of those guys. You didn't notice? All right, that's cool. You're a good dude. Oh my God. Charging through that.
Well, it wouldn't
be. So that's how I met one of our listeners. And he's like, I listen to the late show all the time with you and Borg. I'm like, all right, you're one of us. I love it. Hell yeah.
So wouldn't be a B team podcast without finishing it like that for the year. Oh, you're on mute for some reason, Chad.
Yeah, thanks for everybody that's come on and been a guest as well. That makes our podcast that much better as well. So, mm-hmm. Kevin, yep. Stone, all them guys.
For sure.
Thanks for FCS, the FFN, for letting us broadcast on their channel and being part of the tomfoolery with all those guys. Helps our numbers, but helps us meet new people, new fans, get different viewpoints on how things are going across the country. So thank you guys for letting us be on there.
For sure. With that, we're firmly in garage time. So we will, we'll see you guys. I don't know when we see you. We'll be tweeting out. I don't know. We'll do a show at some point or another. So until then, as always, go big, go blue, go Jacks.
Go Jacks.
We hope you've enjoyed this podcast. We would also like to once again thank our sponsors, the Kubota Dealers of South Dakota, Culver's of Brookings and Watertown, Jackrabbit Central, and Colby Sports Bar and Grill. And as always, Go Jacks.